evening, everyone.
This is Gordon, W2TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Are there any stations with emergency or prairie traffic? Please call K2BAR, W2TTT. Okey-doke, nothing heard. That's a good answer to that question. Anyway, good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2TTT. The Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net is conducted weekly on a frequency of 146.955, the repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, 2-meter repeater, located in Alpine, New Jersey. The PL is 141.3, and access via Echolink is provided via the K2 Foxtrot Juliet, K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L for link, Echolink connection. All stations who are licensed to operate the 2-meter band are welcome to participate. This net is a conversation about amateur radio, electronics, computing, telecommunications, natural sciences, and phenomena that support amateur radio, what we do with it, how we play, what we've done, our past experiences, our future opportunities. There are no dumb questions. There are no silly answers. Maybe occasionally. In any case, we hope you'll check in, even if you don't have a question or a comment for the net, because by checking in, we'll kind of know how to gauge the audience and how to frame what we're doing here. So even if you don't have a question or comment for the net, please check in, let us know you're there. You also can list items for sale or swap on the net. Can't negotiate, but you can state an item and state your asking price or blah, 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 and best offer or best offer, whatever you want, that's fine. And you take the negotiations offline, but if you have something for sale or swap, you can also let us know you have one of those items available as well. You check in by giving your call sign, your name, and then you indicate whether you have a question, a comment, or for sale or swap item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. In any case, we do this in an orderly manner by call sign group so that we don't get totally overwhelmed. So, I think with no further ado, I think we'll begin with that little process of checking everybody in. So, call sign, stations whose call signs begin with the letter Kilo. Please call K2BAR with your call sign, your name. Indicate whether you have a question, comment, for sale or swap item, some combination of those things, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR, W2TTT. Over.
K2BAR, this is K2ZO. I just have one comment, but I think I got a weak battery here, so I'll keep it short.
Okay, Jim, very good. Welcome aboard. Any other QS?
82DDK, Gary, on the side.
Evening, Gary. Gary with two R's, Gary, no less. Okay. Evening, Gary. Any other QS? Whiskey stations.
Whiskey 2, Japan Echo Kilowatt. One comment.
Evening, Don. One comment noted. Any other whiskeys?
W2, LCN, Rick, with a question.
Okay, very good. And Rick, the answer to your question, your other question is, yes, we'll see you tomorrow night, whenever you can, when and if you can get there tomorrow night. I'm going to bring a few of the units, I think due to weather, we're not going to do any outside testing, and shuffling stuff back and forth in cruddy weather is not going to be a lot of fun. So I think what we'll do instead is we'll work on, I'm going to bring a projector, and we're going to project some maps, some contours and stuff like that in the conference room. I think that'll be kind of fun. And maybe work on some FL Digi stuff too. So I'll have all three combinations of stuff, a couple of routers, FL Digi stuff, and maybe some mapping stuff so we can start working on sighting things. All right, very good. Note your, that you have a question. Any other whiskeys? All right, how about Novembers?
November 1 STU Stewart, none of the above.
Evening, Stewart. Okay. Any other Novembers?
N200J, Ori.
Hey, Ori, are you going to be doing questions, comments, confusions? What are we doing here?
Oh, I had a little confusion and questions.
Okay, I note you have a question. Very good. I'll add that to the list. Any other Novembers? Okay, how about Alphas?
AC2GI, Rich, one question.
Good evening, Rich. Good to see your question coming up. Got some comments about some networking tonight, too, that you're going to find intriguing. All right. Any other Alphas? Okay. How about Echo Recommendations?
N2O Yell and Echo Link. No question. One comment, I'm home.
Yay! Good, Noel. But you're on Echo Link?
I'm not allowed to walk, so I'm in the wheelchair, and I can't fit in the shack at this time, so I'm using Echo Link from the living room.
Connected, N2OEL.
Outstanding, Noel. Hey, good to see you home. Good, good. Okie dokie. All right. Yawn, yawn, yawn. Any other Novembers? Okay. Any other call signs wishing to check in at this time, please call K2BAR.
K2EIR. No, none of the above.
Howie. Good to hear you. Excellent. K2EIR is acknowledged. Any other stations?
Did I get through there, Gordon? Whiskey 2, Papa Delta, Quebec.
Did that time, Whiskey 2, Papa Delta, Quebec. Thank you for that package. It arrived yesterday. And it was yesterday. Yeah. And all seems to be in good order. Thank you very, very much. That's going to be put to immediate good use. Do you have questions or comments for that?
Yes. How about mashed potato?
A mashed potato. All right, we'll talk about that later. Not sure what that is, but we'll get to back to that. Very good. Any other stations checking in? All righty, with no further ado, Don, W2JEK, you're first, K2BAR.
K2BAR in the net, W2JEK. Good evening, everybody. Barrow will be running a VE test session tomorrow night, 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School in classroom 123. Anyone who's interested, be there at 7, and we'll give you a test. Anybody have any questions, come back to the net with it now, if you wish. Back to net, W2JEK.
Okay, anybody have anything for Don regarding testing? Okay, Don, very good. Thank you very much. All right, our next station is K2ZO. Go ahead, Jim.
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Is this battery okay?
Far so good.
Just want to make one comment in concerning the off-center fed antennas. I had a situation where someone built one and was having some RF coming in. And so I put a string of ferrites just where the antenna lead came into the house, you know, like clipped on about 10 of them. Didn't do a thing. Lowered the antenna, moved them up about 6 inches below the balun, 4 to 1, and immediately it stopped the problem. So it's interesting that the placement of the RF chokes on the feed line, when these are just the simple clip-ons, made that difference. But yet, down below, didn't do a hill of beans.
Isn't that interesting? So how far down did you move it away from the feed point?
Only about 6 inches below the existing 4 to 1 radio works balun. And it only happened at a kilowatt, okay? It didn't happen at, 200 watts or 100 watts or something. At a kilowatt, it was a small amount of RF. You could see it on a scope. And it was interesting. So we figured, we'll just put these things right here at the base. Didn't do anything. Dropped the antenna, clipped them on about right below the existing balun. Stopped it immediately.
Very nice. Very, very nice. Okay. That's really, really cool. Well, good for you. Anybody have any thoughts for Jim about balun placement? Or, just generally getting a decent match from and getting RF out of your systems?
A2EIR, current distribution.
But you just said yes.
That's all I can think of. It accounts for a lot of different things.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. The current distribution does make a difference.
Oh, yeah. I think it proved that the current balun that I was using wasn't as good as I thought it was, because you do have some problems with current distribution with a center fed antenna. But it was interesting that moving it up towards the balun made all the difference, where putting it down near the radio didn't make a hill of beans.
Interesting stuff, isn't it? It really, really is. Okay. Anybody have any additional comments for Jim? Hey Jim, how about additional comments for you, or from you?
I'm trying to keep it short here because I have a battery that's failing here, so I don't want to do it. But, it just goes to show that, when you have an unbalanced antenna, you really got to address it, especially if you're going to try to run a kilowatt. Because current balun sometimes don't stop the current the way they're supposed to. This is a Radio Works balun. But the SD additional string of clamp-ons made all the difference. I was quite surprised. I just wanted to report it. Back to that, K2ZO.
Hey, Jim, thank you very much. You have a fine evening. And we'll talk with you tomorrow. Or later on, if you get another battery going. All right, before we dive into our questions, are there any other folks with additional check-ins?
KC2 on Hitch, one of the above.
Good evening, Paul. Very good. Anybody else?
K9GTM.
Very good. All right, let's move this along then. N2OEL on the Echo Link. You said you had a comment for the net. You have an additional comment, I'm assuming. K2BAR, W2TTT.
K2BAR, this is N2OEL. No comments. Just that I'm home today, and I really can't get to the shack easily.
W02X. Dave, checking in. What's your pleasure?
Good evening, guys. On the way home from the bowling alley. I'll be in here for about another 10-15 minutes. Just one final thought on the RFI in the shack and the chokes. Those off-center fed dipoles are notorious at higher power for sneaking RF into the shack. And in the upcoming month or so, I'm going to have quite a few of those snap-on ferrites, which are the perfect size for RG8 or RG213. So if somebody needs some, they can get a hold of me, wo2x@arrl.net. I'll probably have several dozen of them coming up available.
Put me in for some, Dave. Email notwithstanding. No problem. If you can't, if it's easy, just get them to Woody, okay?
I've got 10 sites coming offline, and there's about nine to ten of those chokes at every site. So yeah, I'll have a handful, and yeah, they work. And with the flex radio, obviously, you got to be real careful with RFI. All right, back to net. WO2X just checking in. First time checking.
Welcome aboard. It's always fun to hear you. All righty, that's great. All righty, anybody else checking into the net?
W2JC. None of the above.
Good evening, Jim. Gotcha. Anybody else?
K9GTM. Nothing.
Good evening, Sean. All right, very good. Anybody else?
K2, but no questions, no comments.
Very good, Dave. Anybody else? All right, well, Noel, it's good hearing you back on the air. I'm glad at least you can get on the air, even if you can't get into your shack. It's, at least you're in your living room and doing your thing. Good for you. Welcome home today. All right. Our first question is from Rich. No, Rick. I'm sorry. Rick. W2LCN, K2BAR.
All right. Hello. Gordon, I think you covered it on the first part of your answer to my question. You guys are going to be meeting up tomorrow, and I just wanted to make sure because I've got some things to drop off for either Paul or yourself. And I just wanted to see if anybody was going to be over there because I'd like to try and figure out what was working or what was not working on that Linksys router. Incidentally, I did use the IP address you had provided, and at one point, and only once, it came up with the router information and the firmware. But my real question was, when are you guys going to be available at, I guess, the Fairlawn Club? And you'd answered that, so I will see you tomorrow evening.
Yeah, I'll be there as soon as the doors open up. I'm dropping Nancy at work at 4 o'clock. And probably getting myself a cold beverage and sauntering over there by 5. If Don's there, great. If Don's not there, well, we'll just chill out until somebody else comes. Not a problem. Not a problem whatsoever. Anybody else have any questions? What we're referring to is the over there is the Fairlawn Radio Club has open hours for the station and such tomorrow and Friday. Much like Barra has on Tuesdays for Kit Night, which is usually up in Washington Township at either the high school or at the municipal building. So that's what I was referring to for anybody who's had a mystery about that. And either or both are you're welcome to attend any time. Any questions or comments? Okay, Rick, so I'll bring the ability to at least flash a unit or two. I'll bring a couple of cables. I'm going to bring a couple of units. I'm not going to bring many, though, because basically I'm going to bring one backpack full of stuff, and that's it because of the cruddy weather. Need to change pace a little bit. But I think we'll do some mapping, and we'll do some flashing if we need to, configuration. We'll see what we can do. And maybe some SL Digi stuff if people care. In any case, that's about it for now. Anything else from anybody? Hey, Rick, do you have any final comments?
No, I think that's pretty good. I will put out one thing, which is kind of cool being part of the amateur radio community. We had a showcase on Monday evening, and we're always trying to reach out to the community and see how we can get more involved. And a gentleman walks in my room and looks around, and he just, you can see he's got a stare looking around, finding new ways to do things, and he says, I can help you get a station in here. And he turns out to be a ham radio operator. His name is Peter, and I believe you work with him. I think his last name is Gurel. But he did know you, works with the Boy Scouts, and I thought, what a great group to get involved in, because, you know, they're kind of helpful. So that's my only closing comment. I'll send it back to Net. This is W2LTN.
Excellent. That's absolutely excellent. Yep. I know Peter. That's super. I'm glad he was available and helpful, or quite helpful, as the case may be. Hey, very good. Anybody else?
AC3 on here.
Paul, go ahead.
Any thoughts on NJ Scott Radio? Trying to get that up and running again.
I'm sorry, again?
Last year we had talked about NJ Scott Radio. Any thoughts about resurrecting that and getting it going?
Absolutely. In fact, Steve Leonardi and I had dinner last night, QC2VBU, and that was one of the topics of discussion. And so, answer yes, we can bandy about some of that tomorrow night if you like.
I'm going to try and make it over at some point, subject to babysitting.
You're a daddy, you don't babysit, you just watch your own kids. You know how that works. You're lucky my wife didn't hear you say that. Oh my God. You know what, the wrath of NCFWI on the subject of paternal babysitting, oh my God. Who are they, somebody else's kids? Then you're babysitting.
Oh no, I understand that one, but if I don't hand them off to someone to babysit them, then I'm home.
I understand. I understand. I learned to pick my words carefully and counsel my friends carefully, lest they have a negative Nancy encounter. By the way, the other way to get a negative Nancy encounter, just so you know, and you can verify some of this with some of the Barra babes, say the wife in front of Nancy, and I would suggest you get Kevlar and Nomex and run like hell.
Yeah, point noted.
I'll help you out, Paul. anyway. Very good. Rick, anything else from you?
No, that's good. I had a long meeting just prior to this, so I'm just going to sit here and listen in.
Okay, very good. By the way, just for reference, there are 16 of us here tonight. And that's been about average for the last couple of weeks. This net's just been rocking. Really, really proud of you guys. You bring up good stuff. Alrighty. Thank you, Rick. N2OOJ. What's your pleasure, Mr. Uri? K2BAR.
Well, that's going to be a question, but I wonder what EchoLink was. I was looking up the Power of Menace and the subs that you can get on your net via EchoLink. I was wondering how to use that.
Over to you. It's a good question. Okay, we haven't discussed that in a long time. So, let's review. Alright, so EchoLink is a network of licensed radio amateurs worldwide that use the internet as a backbone to communicate. You can hook it up to your station. You can hook it up to a repeater. You can hook it up to a remote base. And you can even hook it up just to your computer, your iPhone, or your Android phone. In fact, one of the criticisms of EchoLink is that you could have two guys or gals, whatever, two folks, talking back and forth across the internet, and they're not actually using a radio. But stations such as this one, where we use K2FJ as our EchoLink gateway. That allows four connections at the same time. So you have four remote stations. Every one of them, in turn, would be heard here. They would all hear what's going on the repeater across their individual internet connections. And the way you get involved is you go to the echolink.net, I think it is, website, or just Google EchoLink. You do have to sign up, and there's a couple of different ways that they validate you're really a ham. Once you do that, your downloaded software, which you can download first, by the way, gets validated, and you'll be able to connect, you know, again, from your computer, your phone, or from computer or phone mostly, to remote radio stations or remote stations anywhere in the world. And it's a lot of fun. It really, really is. Now, some repeaters such as this one, if you have the access code, you can create an EchoLink connection between this repeater and another one, or between this repeater and a station remotely if they just happen to be listening on the internet. So any of those things can be done. So you can tie repeaters together, stations together, whatever. But you can always connect to this repeater from your computer or your phone. So that's a start. Let's see how much of that you got, and then and see what we need to go from there. Maybe someone else will take a crack at any further questions you might have.
So I go to echolink.net, download some software, and identify myself. I would have to fill out an identity form to tell those people at EchoLink who I am and the fact that I'm a ham radio operator. And then I would have to either get an access code for your repeater, or I could connect with anybody who was connected to the link. Is that correct?
I misspoke. It's echolink.org. It's echolink.org. But you can download the software and then look up call sign validation on the EchoLink site. You'll see it. It's pretty much there. There's a couple of ways you can set it up. So, they're very careful to make sure that you don't get authorization to get on EchoLink without being a licensed ham, so validation is tricky. But it's fairly straightforward. I think I did it one afternoon at home with sitting next to my home phone. I think that was all I had to do, and it was pretty straightforward one day. So you're not going to have trouble getting that done. Over.
Okay, so once I'm validated, how do I connect to another station? Do I just dial it into the internet or call it on the radio or what?
Okay, so when you're in the software, when you're running the EchoLink software and you've connected to the server, what's going to happen is you'll get a list of stations who are online right now.
Oh, go to those stations and tell them I'm on the air. And then once I tell them I'm on the air from the software, I should be able to talk to them by way of my radio. Is that correct?
Well, not exactly. If you're using a computer or your phone, they'll see that you're on the air, and you'll see that they're on the air or on the EchoLink server. And you can just connect to them. If you're not sure if they're on the air, but you know their node number, you get on this repeater, you do the access thing, and you just bang a couple of touch tones for their node number instead of their call sign, and it will attempt to connect to that node number. If that node is not on the EchoLink server somewhere in the world, then you'll get back a node not available, node not found, whatever. Whether it's a good number or a bad number. But if that station is there, it'll say connected, and away we go. Let me ask this question. Noel, you're here. Would you mind terribly disconnecting and reconnecting if we stand by? Could you do that until the LK2BAR?
N2OEL timeout.
He may have timed out his connection. I don't know if he's actually on anymore. So let's see if he comes back.
Gordon, WO2X, you want me to connect in through Echo Link?
Dave, that'd be great if you would.
All right, and what is it, N2FJ you said?
K2FJ-L.
Bring it up here. And for the other station, what I'm doing is I'm going into locations, and then I'm selecting North America. I go down to United States, I go Area 2, and then I scroll down, and it's alphabetical.
Connected WO2X, connected KC2UNH, KC2UNH, disconnected.
Why don't you say something by echoing?
Let's test. This is WO2X testing.
Very good, Dave. So, in there were a couple of different things. We heard Noel timeout and Julio. We heard KC2UNH connect and disconnect. And sometimes those messages get stacked up a little bit, and that's why you heard one after the other. And then you also heard WO2X connected. So there's your example. So why don't we do it this way? Uri, why don't you have a quick conversation back and forth with Dave, WO2X. You can talk through the repeater. He'll talk back to you on the echo link.
W2OX and 2OOJ.
Sorry about that. I had just disconnected, Gordon. I thought you just want me to disconnect and demonstrate it, but I'll connect back in. Hold on.
Gordon, would I have to connect my computer, my radio to my computer?
No, sir, you do not.
Okay, this is WO2X. No, you do not. You just talk with your radio to the repeater, and then the EchoLink node actually connects from my iPhone through the Internet to the EchoLink node, and the EchoLink node connects into the repeater, just like another mobile radio would connect. So there you go. I'm on EchoLink right now, talking into the repeater, WO2X.
Connected, WO2X.
Well, that's really fine business, so that means that you can be 1,000 miles away and I should be able to talk to you. Is that the whole idea of EchoLink?
Yeah, that's the idea of it. You could be far away, or you could be in an area that you just don't have coverage into the repeater. It's a way to link repeaters and extend the network connectivity. So if a repeater only had coverage, for 25-mile range or so, you can link a couple of repeaters. Now, there's also another similar protocol called IRLP, or Internet Radio Linking Protocol, which is exclusively for linking repeaters together through the Internet. That's completely separate. But EchoLink will allow you to connect to a repeater that is far away. So if you're on vacation in Florida and you wanted to talk to Gordon up here in New Jersey and check into the net here, you can actually go ahead and go into EchoLink through the node that I just connected in, and you'd be on the air and listening to the net tonight. So that's the whole purpose. When I was in Hawaii in December, I was connecting into my local repeater through EchoLink every day. WO2X remote.
WO2X on 2OOJ. Well, look, I'll tell you, that's a real nice thing to fool around with, and I'm certainly going to get into it. it certainly sounds worthwhile, and I really appreciate your time and your effort to demonstrate it to me, and I'm definitely going to look into it. So this is N2OOJ. I'll let you get back to the TechNet.
To EIR, comment.
And Ali?
I don't know if this makes things more lucid, but since I favor IRLP, the way I always like to illustrate it is, say I connect to a repeater in Australia. So now, whatever happens on my repeater, on, say on this repeater, if I had the capability here, happens on the repeater in Australia and vice versa. So if I say K2EIR listening, I might indeed find that a trucker with a load of sand 30 miles from Sydney comes back to me. And everyone down there listening to the repeater down there in Sydney hears what's going on. And everyone here around Nyack, New York, hears what's going on, or, northern New Jersey. And you could have multiple people, join in on each end. It's just that two repeaters are linked, and it makes things very helpful. Another illustration is similar to the EchoLink example. Let me let this reset. My brother went out to visit a ham friend in California, and using IRLP, he linked the two repeaters together, and I was in my car driving with a friend, and suddenly on the repeater I was monitoring here, I hear my brother's call. So I was able to have a conversation with him, and it was winter here, and he was telling me how it was like 70-something degrees out there. So I think that makes it a little bit more lucid. Thank you, Gordon. W2TPT from K2EIR.
Well, anytime I can be party to something that's considered lucid, I'm probably in better shape. Thank you very much, Howie. That was awesome. Does that make better sense for you, Uri?
Certainly does, Gordon. I really appreciate it, and I will be looking into it, and I'm going to be trying it next week. I'm going away for the weekend, so I'll be trying it next week, and I'll get back to you on a TechNet next week. So this is N2OOJ. I'll turn it back to you.
Check out. Go ahead, Dave.
In the driveway, 7-3, guys. Thanks for letting me get in here tonight. W02X, Taquonic, New Jersey.
Thank you very much, sir. Good hearing you, and we'll see you in the morning, probably. Or in the afternoon, as the case may be. All right. Any more from you, Hallie? Ori?
No, other than the fact that I'm fooling around with 263, and I worked with Gordon with it on TechNight and the Barra meeting, and he rigged something up for me, or we rigged something up that I'm trying to connect the rig blaster that's made for the Kenwood with an Elenco FM, and the rig blaster we rigged was set up for a Kenwood 450 ore mode, and I'm still fooling around with it, and sooner or later I'll get it working, but if anybody knows anything about 263, every time I try to connect the 263 from the software, it actually was on a 263 MT63 500, 1,000, or 2,000, which is the correct,
Hey, that's a great question. Depending on what you're doing, on VHF FM, MT63 2000 is very common, and a lot of us use it here on 2 meters or on 440 FM with FL Digi. So, and then the narrow modes are used in more the HF spectrum.
So the narrow mode is the 500, and the ones they use in FM are the 1000 and 2000. Is that it?
Generally, I mean, some people will try to use 1000 on HF. It's fine. The real trick is to know also how to center it. So in the case of MT63-2000, which is 2,000 hertz wide, you center it at 1,500 hertz, and I believe that's the standard for 1,000 as well, but that might not be the case. It might be between 1,000 and 2,000 for the 1,000 width, and for the 500, I think it's at 1,000 hertz. I think that's where you center.
If I set my software correctly, I would set this at MT63-1000. Is that correct?
For FM?
Yeah, for FM.
2000.
So I would set it at 2000. Okay, I see what... Yeah, just beyond me, a lot of this stuff is very Greek to me. I'm on the... FLDIGI software right now, and a lot of this stuff is new to me. I go to the configure I'm not very knowledgeable about technical terms. That's why I was curious about the 1,000 and 2,000, but normally, what frequencies do people frequent on the MT63 that maybe I could try to connect with them?
If you don't connect an MT63, you just spew your stuff, and anybody who's listening just copies it. So, but you would, 444-100 is very good around here. You're welcome to use that. That's the BCFMA repeater. In Paramus.
Okay, I'll give that a try, and then I'll see if does it make any difference to I don't know whether you know anything about Rig Blaster, but that's what I'm using is a Rig Blaster sound cord connection. And does it make any difference whether it's FM or single sideband or whatever to this Rig Blaster?
If you get on, you can use a Rig Blaster. That's very simple. That's very good to use, actually. Just dial it up on 444-100, TLS-141-3, and then just use MT63-2000. You know who's there often, and you probably can rustle up a queue, though, is W2JC. Jim, are you around? Maybe you can exchange information with Uri to set up a QSO.
This is W2JC. I usually have an HT sitting on 444.1 with the laptop running FLDigi. Nobody's been on for a week now, but unless the battery on the HT is run down, I'll probably pick up a message. And if I'm here, I'll probably reply.
Okay, Ari, there's your answer.
You know, I'm able to receive. I can see the waterfall and everything. I'm looking at it right now on my screen, but I'm not able to transmit. It must have been the way this configuration that we rigged up last Tuesday night is operating that I'm not able to transmit. So that's my problem. I'm not able to get out, but I can receive with the software, so I'll have to work on that further and see if I can see what I can do. So I'll turn it back to you, Gordon. I've taken up enough of the next time, and I really appreciate everybody's help and their advice, and I really have something to work on. So this is N2OJ. I'll turn it back to Ned.
Okay. What is your radio portable enough that you could bring it with you tomorrow night? along with your ringmaster and your and the computer? Is it a desktop computer and a lot of schlepping, too much to move?
No, I know you're down at the Farallon Cup, but I'm going to be gone for the weekend. That's the whole thing. I mean, next week I'll be free, so I plan on coming down to Farallon a week from tomorrow night. I don't know how often you're down, but I could bring my rig down and my rig blaster and my connections and all that, and see what you think of what we did. So. I will try to be there a week from tomorrow night, and then maybe I can catch you there that you could take a look at and give me some suggestions.
Yeah, on the 24th I won't be there. I'm going to be tied up with a scouting event that weekend, but I will be there this weekend. I'll try to get back the following week. Not a problem. We'll work on that. If I'm not traveling that week, which I very well may be, we'll see. But very good. That's great. Anybody else have anything related to the topic before we move on? Well, Ori, thank you for bringing up the EchoLink thing, and it's pretty straightforward to get squared away to get done. By the way, don't hold your breath, but with a 1-0 game at 8:35 left in the third period, the Devils are leading the Philadelphia Flyers, who are equally bottom feeders at this point. So that's pretty cool. 1-goal game. Alrighty. Our next question comes from our friend Rich, AC2GI, KTBAR, W2TTT. Good, Rich.
K2BAR, AC2GI. Actually, I come up with a second question. The first one, Gordon, if you don't want to give it on the air, if you can text me, I lost the piece of paper that I wrote everything down on last Friday night, and I need the IP address for the little blue box. And the little blue box is powered up and on the air, if anybody can see it out there. So that is up and running. The second question is the FL Digi. I don't know why I was under the impression that is a protocol, but after doing some research, it's just software running a bunch of different protocols. Is that correct? Over.
That's correct. Although it has a package of its own message protocol that goes on top of it to handle automatic message transfer and things like that, so you can do forms-based transfer without having to send all the Michigan, so you only need to send the actual message data and the control stuff. You don't need to send a lot of formatting stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, very good. Very good. And again, if you can text me that IP address, I'd appreciate it. And I'll turn it back to that AC2GI.
I'll give you that address in a second. I can certainly do that. A couple of things. FL Digi is the umbrella and the core piece of a whole family of packages, but FL Digi and FL Message, what it allows you to do is you can pick up, if you're running FL Digi and FL Message in different windows on your machine, you can, from FL Message, pick a form, fill it out, and they have everything from radiogram forms to Red Cross forms to ICS forms, on and on and on. They have some blank message forms, things like that. And what it'll do is you fill it out or cut and paste your stuff into it, whatever you want to do, and you hit send, and using whatever protocol you've set up for FL message, FL Digi, it will automatically turn on a transmitter, send to other stations who are running FL Digi and FL message. From the FL Digi on the receiving side, we'll decode that message block, take the message, let's say as a form that you decide to fill out, pick the message form from the header, populate that form and display it in a web browser on the receiving station's or station's side. So it's really, really clever. It's all automatic.
Okay, I'll dig deeper into that. Back to that.
We can do that tomorrow. You know, if you want to bring a laptop that's running FL Digi and FL Message, with it, as long as there's a microphone and a speaker, you don't even need a radio. We can do it across the room, or you know, just put the microphone to the speaker to the microphone of two computers. But we also can set it up. Oh yes, very nice. 2-0. Brizgalov just got left for dead by his defense. Anyway, so just you'd like to know that. That it really is easy, and you know we can do this with a couple of handy talkies, and plus there is a station set up at Fairlawn, so we can go from room to room if you want. So it's very, very good. Alrighty, so with that in mind, the IP address you need is 172.27.0.1:8080.
Well, let me read that back. 172.27.0.1:880.
8080.
Okay, correction. 8080. Copied, and thank you,
AC2GI. Oh, no problem. Now, for any reason that doesn't work, connect to your call sign AP01:8080. Try that on a web browser, okay?
That was my call sign Alpha Papa 01.
That's what we set you up for. It's all caps.
Very good.
Then follow that with :8080. Alrighty. Anybody else?
KD2DDK.
Okie doke. Go ahead, Gary.
If there's further problems, don't forget to renew the IP in case you've got something else sitting in there. That's all.
Now, if you've got the computer with a Wi-Fi or something like that, you might have to turn off your Wi-Fi when you connect the Ethernet cable to the mesh router. Let me ask this question, Rich. What's the placement situation for this mesh router? Is it sitting in your shack in a window? Is it sitting up in a box way up high? Tell us about what you got. I'm assuming it's at your call book address.
Yes, it is. It's in the call book address, and it's in the second floor bedroom window looking at the blinking light at the Garrett Mountain Tower.
Not bad. Okay. So if for any reason that's not cutting the mustard, what we may want to do is take small KU dishes in the feed, or even one of the small Yagis and point it toward that point once we get a sight there, okay?
Yeah, that's what I figured would do something like that. I think I have my hands on a small Yagi for that frequency. But I figured I'd put it up now in case you guys are driving around or whatever and you might come across it. Over.
Go ahead, Gary. I know you're going to want to drive around.
82DDK. Yeah, I am. Rich, I already got your house located on Google Maps, and I got the Google Latin Lawn for it. and I've already got you on my network diagram. Haven't had the chance to drive up there yet to see if it was turned on, but now that I know it's turned on, I will.
Very good. But Rich, congratulations. That's most excellent. I have a note sitting here, but it doesn't talk well outside of my office. I gotta get a day when my knee feels adequate for the purpose and finish up the construction and stick the stuff upstairs on the roof. In my case, I'm actually going to run a 12-volt lead out to the radio box. I've already decided that. It's not a big deal for me to do because my ham shack's on the third floor, and the access between the ham shack and the roof is literally the... It's about a 2-foot... if that, I mean, about 16 inches machine where it goes through the window, or not through the window, through the access port, and then curls around the eave onto the roof. So I just have to provide a drip loop on the 12-volt zip cord. I'm probably going to use, for now, just some 12-volt zip cord, you know, because I'm going to run ridiculously little current, I mean, less than an amp, and run some stranded number 12. So I'll probably have a slightly high voltage, but that's all right. I'll put it on a 15-volt supply bus, and, you know, with the voltage drop, it'll still probably see 12 or 13 volts up top. So that'll be fine. It'll be right on the tower on the side. That's the plan as of right now anyway. Alrighty. Anybody else have anything about mesh networks, deployments, et cetera, while we're on the topic?
Yes, Gordon, I have one thing here, W2PDQ.
Hey, Rich.
Gordon, there's a couple of interesting things, one of which is kind of hit my head here and said, oh my goodness, I remember some of the stuff I had on Hookmark. One was mesh potato, which was like a commercial net thing, and the other one was a little thing with Radio Lab, which told you like transmission capabilities.
Okay, so I've never actually seen mesh potato. Tell us about that first.
This is something I saw that actually is designed for what you're doing. It's a little commercial thing. And I didn't investigate it too much. It was something on my bookmark. And the other thing I remember from like the WRT was in Radio Labs, there was a little formula section that told you how many milliwatts in and what kind of dB gain of the antenna and how far there would be transmitted.
And what pray tell is that? And I'm looking at the mashed potato stuff here. It looks that's interesting in itself. But so tell us more about this distance measuring software.
There's a thing on Gordon. There's a little thing on the internet under Radio Labs. I forget whether it's Borg or Com. I think it was Com, and it lets you go plug in all the little thing for 2.4 gigahertz, put in the decibels of the antenna, put in the kind of path that you wanted, and it would tell you kind of a distance rating out of the thing. So it's kind of a preliminary judge on everything.
Okay, you don't mean Radio Mobile, do you?
No, Gordon, I think this was established over the same kind of concept as the mesh network. It's just using the same kind of formulas.
Okay, well, I found the mesh potato stuff. And I also found Radiolabs.com seems to be a vendor of equipment. Radiolabs. It's typed correctly. Now, Radio Labs. No, radiolabs.net apparently does not exist. Let me try radiolabs.org just for grins.